Right. So I'm going to stand here, but just raise your hand if I get excited and move from side to side and you can't hear me. Okay. So, So before I dive into today's sermon, I wanted to talk a little bit about what has brought me from pew to pulpit. Ultimately, that has been God, but there has been a little bit of wrestling about it and a lot of doubt. It started with me feeling that I wanted to share how difficult I find it personally to consistently read the Bible and for it to penetrate and for me to feel that I understand a lot of what's in it. And quite often that has left me feeling quite deflated and a bit, just a bit defeated. I felt a bit like, well, I call myself a Christian, but I'm not really very good at this aspect of Christianity. So you might think, well, where has it ended? So remarkably, in thinking about and praying about wanting to talk about this aspect, it has left me with the opposite feeling of deflated. It's led me here now with a real innate sense that Jesus is very much here for us. He really is for us. And in his love and how we need to echo this love towards ourselves and towards each other. And that can lead to greater things. So today I want to return to a subject we often talk about at chapel. And that's how our Christian faith does come alive and what it means when we're walking the Christian walk and being alive with Christ. But more specifically, how we can maybe even look to those around us here today, as well as examples in the Bible, to help inspire and motivate us when we feel that our walk is maybe slowed to a bit of a crawl and we feel maybe a bit comatosed by our faith and not necessarily alive. So when Paul wrote this letter to Ephesians, they were living in what was very much a centre and a melting pot of faith. Ephesus, which I can never say properly, but I think I said it all right, had both a huge Greek mythology religion going on, as well as Jewish worshippers. And then it also had this new multicultural church that was just beginning. The Jewish people who believed in Jesus as the risen Messiah, and they were coming together with Gentiles. So Paul was wanting to write to emphasize how the gospel and ultimately Jesus has created this new multi-ethnic family, united in love and energized by the Holy Spirit. And that we should find joy in our new life with Christ, which will lead to a renewed sense of calling and a new purpose in our lives, a new identity in Christ, and a guide to practical living. So as Christians here today, we are invited into this new family, and families can very much be a collection of things. They're a collection of different characters. They can mean different things to different people. Families can help teach us things. They can help drive us to distraction. They can hold uncomfortable mirrors up to us. But ultimately, we hope that they can be a place of safety, of rest, and of comfort, where you might come to reflect on how you want to live your life, and hopefully for it to be a place of inspiration and hope. So returning to my starting point of I can't seem to read the Bible, I must be failing, to wow, God has a message for me here that perhaps I should help share. I want to quote a very old TV advert came to me And luckily, I don't think there's anyone here who's so young that they may not remember this, but you may remember there was a TV advert for Lloyds Banking, and they wanted to explain that Lloyds was a family business, and the people who worked for Lloyds, you know, they worked really hard for us, but they also had fun. And it ended with a guy sort of looking at the camera saying, "It's not all work, work, work," like this. And this became a bit of a catchphrase in our family. It's not all work, work, work. And I was reminded of that when I was thinking about this theme today. Feeling alive with Christ should not feel like work. Feeling alive with Christ will make you want to work for him and with him. And it likely won't then feel like work. And as David often says to me, where God is in the acts that you carry out, it won't feel like a burden. It will feel joyful to yourself, even though you might be fulfilling something to help other people. And I think that is really true. Each of us needs to look at where we find joy or where we find a sense of feeling alive and fulfilled. And it might take lots of different forms. It might not just be about reading the Bible, though as we will see, this does provide a foundation. So I've come up with four themes, and before this next slide, I need to say that I gave some editorial control to my husband on the slides, and there are some slightly distracting images coming up. I'd like you to think of the words, though. So we've got four themes of how we might feel alive with Christ. There is the scripture, the Bible reading, we'll come to that last, but there are some other aspects as well. And I want maybe for us to think about what are the areas that we might naturally feel that we do feel alive with Christ in, and what areas do we think, oh no, I feel a bit uncomfortable in that, that isn't quite what I feel comfortable with at the moment. And I want you to also think about a good old teaching expression, which Julia will probably know, which is when someone says, "I can't," you say, "Yet," because you can't at the moment, but you might be able to in the future. So with all of these things, just because you don't feel able to do one of these aspects at the moment doesn't mean that God hasn't got a plan to power you up, as it were, and make you able. So who in our church family today and ancestrally might we look for inspiration and guidance so that we can stop comparing and contrasting, because that is our default human position, and instead feel emboldened and confident and have faith? So let's first look at faith in action. And here we are, lovely photo that I decided. And I love this quote that Paul gives in Galatians, where he says, faith is expressing itself through love. And James also talks about this, where he says, show, and I've used a version of the Bible which I love for this, because it says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And this is really talking about the amplification of both faith and your works that can come through Jesus and through having a faith that So we also have some examples in the Bible of faith through works, and the one that comes to mind that I want to talk about was the friends who carried their paralyzed friend through the crowd and lowered their friend down through the roof in order to get him to Jesus. They had such faith that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, if they could physically get him there, then Jesus would be able to heal him. And we also see it with Peter when he walks on the water, when there's a stormy water and Jesus is there walking on water, and Peter steps out of the boat in faith and keeps his eyes on Jesus and is able to, his works, his action is that he's able to walk on water and not drown. So these are huge examples of faith in action, very visible, dramatic results. But we must be reminded that all around us are equally inspiring and incredible acts of faith in action. I could no doubt ask any one of us sitting here today to stand up, and I would be able to give an example of some kind of act as to how their faith or their works or their service has gone before them with something they've done. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I really am looking at everyone in the room, and I can think of things you've done. Two examples I'm minded of today are the walk and talk group that has been created. Someone had the idea for that. They had faith that maybe this was something that would be of benefit to the community, and they saw it through with action. And it's now become a really integral and important supportive group that we have within within our community. I've also seen someone, and I'm not doing any names, but everyone knows maybe who they are, but someone who thought that it might be useful to set up a small cooking group. They had to really have faith that they were going to put it out there, this advert, I can help people learn to cook. And people came, and that was faith in action. And that these are examples of people's faith in action that leads to serving others. And so we can also look at how we can all serve each other and how that can be a part of feeling alive with Christ. And I love, again, this quote from Peter, looking at using whatever gift you have in its various forms, meaning that is okay. We're all going to have different ways that we serve each other. And again, we should not default to our human nature, which is to feel a sense of comparing and contrasting. We see in the Bible the story that we're told right from the get-go. I think it is the first story I remember being taught at school about the Good Samaritan. There is someone who served someone else, went above and beyond as an illustration of putting the other person's needs first and foremost before their own. And again, I see so very much in our community here and beyond, I see people quietly making meals and dropping them to people in need. I see volunteers driving around the village, taking people here, there, and everywhere. I see our sound and our slide system working each week, our children looked after at Sunday school, and a hot cup of tea and coffee at the end of the service. Small, small acts that provide a reliable, steadfast, and consistent nature to our family. And so we think about, I don't know where that image came from, Ed. So, you know, we need, whilst our Christian journey is one of growth and discovery, the core fundament relies on our steadfast commitment and faith. We know that at the heart of our faith is our God, who is nothing but steadfast and consistent. And Paul writes here again that we need to be strong and immovable and always working enthusiastically for the Lord, because nothing we ever do is going to be considered useless. None of us are useless. And I also love the phrase that is in Hebrews, where it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that is what we can hold steadfast while we think, well, I can't do that yet, but I could grow to be able to do this or that. And I know that I myself often feel that seeing those familiar faces in the pews week in, week out, whose steadfast commitment to God through all they have been through in their lives is incredibly humbling and inspiring. So you know, that you might feel like, oh, well, I just come and I sit in my chair, usually the same one, and I don't do much else. That's okay. You are a consistent and steadfast faith to those of us who might be wavering, and I think that's brilliant. And I could go on for hours about the steadfast and consistent people that we see in the Bible. You know, Paul, many, you know, being an example, John, so many. So we've looked at the components of being alive with Christ that I myself find initially more drawn towards. But what about that Bible reading that I talked about and that scripture issues? Well, hilariously, when I decided to look at the Bible about what it says about reading the Bible, the first quote I came across was this one that said that you shall teach them diligently to your children these words. And as you can see, Aid was unable to find an image where either one of us was sitting in this chair, so he's had to rely on a stock image. And it's quite the instruction from our forefathers. We've got another one here from Joshua, where he says that I should be meditating on the scripture day and night and day and night. And I find that quite a difficult thing to grasp when I'm trying to think of everything I've got going on in my busy life. And we know that Jesus uses scripture. You know, that is his tool, that is his weapon when the devil is tempting him. So we have these instructions, we're told how we could use scripture. And this, for me, is where I find it tricky. So I thought to myself, well, how do I, or you and me, bring the scripture into our everyday living faith in a way that doesn't feel insurmountable and that does feel achievable and relevant? How do we keep consistency? How do we keep steadfast with that? And I've had to scale right back my expectations of what I can achieve with reading the Bible. Unfortunately, I have a habit of loving listening to Timothy Keller sermons, which I would highly recommend, but it does set the bar really high for both delivering sermons and for knowledge of the Bible. And actually, what I went back to was this quote from Deuteronomy. Was the quote from Deuteronomy? Where it talks about today. It says today this shall be on your heart. So with that in mind, when I got baptized or rebaptized, I asked for a devotional book because I thought to myself, I just need to start with one verse. If I can just manage one verse a day, that's going to be better than not opening the Bible at all. And if I can then have time and expand on that one verse, all the better. But that's where it starts. And it might be as simple as just having that one Bible verse and not worrying about the bigger picture for that day. It might be about showing my action through faith in something. It might be about serving others. That might be what that verse today inspires me to do. And I was interested to see that David had written in this week's newsletter about a path, and I now can't remember because I read it late last night, but anywho, because I've got here in my sermon that I love Psalm 119, the words that say, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when we need a light or a lamp to our feet, we don't need it to show right the way in the future. We just need it for the next few steps to stop us stumbling. And that's what we can do with both scripture reading and the other aspects of how we can feel alive with Christ. So remembering that the scriptures were and are written down, meant to be read aloud and discussed and used to inspire and encourage us with this feeling of being alive with Christ together as a community where each one of us plays a valuable part. I thought that I wanted to talk a lot about how I find everyone here so inspiring and your unique ways that you have, differing ways with feeling alive with Christ. But just to end with, one of the things that has really come to the forefront of my mind when I was trying to think about giving this talk and about what I do think is important, which is that we are all an inspiration and an encouragement to each other with feeling alive, was I got this really visceral vision when I started writing this, which I wanted to share with you to end with. And I wanted you to imagine that the door of the chapel is opening and Jesus is walking in. He's come to meet us all in the flesh, not in a second coming way, Zaid said, because he said that would open up a whole barrage of ideas. But imagine him as a person. He is smiling. He is full of light. He is full of joy to see us all here and us being full of Christ. He has nothing but love for each and every one of us. He is not here with a notebook, taking a register, counting the number of times that each person has maybe made a hot meal for someone else or opened the Bible. He's not comparing us or holding us to account. He will be utterly delighted in each and every way that we have shown love to someone else as a small reflection of the love that he has for us. And we must remember that he loves us where we are currently in our faith and acts, and he is our biggest encourager in helping us deepen and strengthen where we might go with our faith. He is our encourager, and we are each other's reflection of that encouragement, where we see the light and love of Jesus in others, we should be reminded that is the love that he has for you and for each one of us. And so that is what I wanted to end with, was to say Jesus is for us. He is our biggest encourager. And remember that when you're feeling a bit and deflated yourself with aspects of feeling alive with Christ.